This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening. The Parshas Vayishlach. If you're listening online, please email me at j.golk@gmail.com. I'll send you the handout. So the Parsha begins, Vayishlach Yaakov Malochim Lefonov im El Esav Achiv. Yaakov sends messengers to Esav, Arzo Seir Stei Edoim, and famously he says to them, Koy Soimer La'adoini Le'esav, Koyama Abducho Yaakov. This is the message. So says your Eved Yaakov, Imlovon Garti for Echar Ad Ata. Imlovon Garti. I sojourned with Lovon. Now, Rashi says, Tupshotim, on the words Imlovon Garti. Says the first Rashi, Loi Naseisi Tsar V'choshuv Elegeh. That's the title, I should say, one choshuv. That I didn't become a person of prominence. Garti is an expression of a sojourner. I didn't establish myself there. You don't need to hate me, because al brachas avich shebercheini, that you don't have to have any animosity towards me because of the brachas that your father blessed me, i.e. have gvir la'achicha, you should be a prominent person. Sharloin is kai mobi, because they haven't come true. I'm not a person of prominence, of importance. Imlovon garti. That's first pshat in Rashi. Second pshat in Rashi, dova acher, garti begematria taryak. Yeah, it's actually the same letters. That is, garti is an allusion to 613. Kolomar, imlovon harosha garti, the taryag mitzvah shamarti, v'loilamatzi maismaroim. Fine, so I kept all 613 mitzvahs, I didn't learn from his evil ways, and therefore he's sort of like a silent threat, saying, don't touch me, I'm impenetrable. The Kli Yaakov asks a very interesting question. It seems the two Pshatim and Rashi contradict each other. It says the Kli Yaakov, Koyam Abt Choyakim Novim Garti V'Echadat, Pirish Rashi, number one, Garti V'Loinas Esi Tzar V'Choshev Elger. I didn't become a person of importance and prominence, but I'm just a sort of a sojourner passing through. Number one. Number two, Dova Ache Garti Taryag Mitzvah Shamarti, that I kept all 613 commandments. Vishne Perushim Elu Soistrim Ze'ezeh, says the Kli Yaakov, that both of these explanations contradict each other. She'im Omeloi Lo Nasesi Saha Im Kain Bolofon of Bahachno, saying I wasn't a person of prominence, of importance, that means you're coming to in a subjugating way. You're sort of meekly coming towards him and saying, listen, you know, nothing came of me really. And don't worry too much. It's a form of... Because the Imam Aloy Tariag Mitzvah Shamarti, says the Kli Yaakov, Mashma Adaraba, Sheshalach Lo She'eni Yorimenu. I'm not scared of you. I was in a house of a crooked businessman, a very difficult environment, and I kept 613 mitzvahs, and you're not going to intimidate me. And therefore, you know, the bracha was the kasher torid parak to ulay, that when I don't keep my mitzvahs, then you'll have the upper hand. But I've kept my mitzvahs, and therefore your hand is lower down, you won't be able to succeed. It's coming from a position of strength and of force. So in that respect, says the Kli Yaakov, they seem to contradict. The first pshat in Rashi is an expression of hachna, of submission, and the second is sort of a powerful message. Yeah. So that's the contradictory message. Now, I came across a lovely pshat, I forget where I saw it, to be honest, but in the name of Reb Leib Gurwitz. And he says a very beautiful pshat that explains that the two pshatim are actually not contradictory at all. How so? When Rashi says, I kept 613 mitzvahs, and I didn't learn from his evil ways, there seems to be a redundancy there. We spoke about this once in a previous shir, a few years ago. If you kept 613 mitzvahs, then obviously you didn't learn from his evil ways. So there seems to be a redundancy. Says Reb Leib Gurwitz, the famous Rosh Shiva of Gateshead, that Lavan was a wicked and dishonest person. And he pursued his activities with passion and with dedication. And Yaakov Avinu said, he laments and says, I didn't learn from the evil ways of Lavan how I should live. Halavai, I should have kept my Taryag mitzvahs in the way that Lavan pursues his evil activities. That's what it means. So when he says, Im Lavan Garti, V'tayag mitzvah shemati v'lo lamati mas meroim. He's also sort of, it's a submissive gesture. It's a submissive phrase. I kept 613 mitzvahs, but they were lacking. They didn't have the same passion that Lavan had when he kept his when he went ahead with his nefarious ways. That's what it means. So therefore, the both expressions of Rashi are an expression of hachna, expression of submission. He's sort of meekly going towards him. Number one, nothing came of the brachas. I'm not a person of prominence and of prestige. And number two, even my tayag mitzvahs and my performance of Torah mitzvahs was lacking because I didn't learn from the passion and the hislavas, if you like, of Lavan's, the way he went away, his evil ways. Now, this actually, I think from a Musa point of view, is very important. How so? So, you know, I remember one time there was a person who told me that the next day they were going to Black Friday sales. I think it's this time of year, no? It's coming up soon. So they were going, I forget which sales it was, I think they were going to Harrods. Or one of the, in town somewhere. Oh, no, it wasn't Harrods. It was local. It was Staples Corner Next or something like that. And it's open at 6 o'clock in the morning. And they couldn't go that early because they had to go, I think, at about 5 o'clock in the morning because the queues, you've got to get the first, the initial bargains, I think, are the best. And therefore, they went early. They had to queue up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Now, that is, it might be a lot of fun, and they did it, and I'm sure it was good fun. They got a lot of bargains or whatever it may be. But it's a dangerous thing to do. Because Klapei Shamayim, after 120, you know, they'll pay the video, and they'll see you in bed on Shabbos morning, yeah, missing Hashkama, missing the next minion, that, and why can't you get up? It's been a tough week, I'm tired, etc., etc. Okay. Then they'll press rewind. They'll go back to that Black Friday morning with you getting up with enthusiasm for the 4:30 one Friday morning, and lining up in next in the freezing cold, 5 o'clock to get. It's a tarat de sasri. It seems it's sort of self contradictory behavior. So the point is, and sometimes I know people who the sky is the limit when it comes to sports activities. I spoke to someone a few weeks ago. He went to a game. He supports a certain team, not a very prominent team. They play in the Midlands, so it's a two and a half hour drive to go watch a game. So if it's an evening game which finishes at 10:30 or something, and then they're driving home, if they've lost, it's a long drive, and it's a tremendous commitment to go. But the point is, the passion that is often found in these avenues, does it manifest itself in more sort of a spiritual, eternal matters? That's really the concern. So that's Reb Leib Gurvitz in Lavan Garti. Okay, let's. In other words, the Kliok just asked the question. He gives a different answer, by the way. The Kliok is the person who raises the seemingly contradictory responses of Yaakov Avinu that Rashi presents. Reb Leib Gurvitz comes along and says that maybe what Yaakov Avinu meant, he's being self-critical, he's being so, again, it's the Lefi Madrigoso. You know, the famous story, who was it? One of the Rebbes. He goes to Tashlich, and then his Talmud goes after him, and he says he's going to pick up the Averas his Rebbe threw out. The Halavai, his Averas should be on that level, right? His mitzvah should be on that level. Yeah, he didn't do the performance of a certain mitzvah with the requisite to kavonas or whatever it may be. So I think it's understood in the same way that Yaakov Avinu is reflecting that Lavan is a person who goes about his evil ways with such passion and dedication that Yaakov Avinu is saying about himself that he was lacking in that respect. It's in a way, I don't think it's a derisory comment at all. Anyway, that's the Reb Leib's interpretation. Okay, let's press on. So the pasuk continues by Yeshua Malachim El Yaakov Leimer Boner Lachich El Esav VeGam Harlich Likroscha VeArbe Meis Ish Imoy. So famously, the message that comes back is not a very good one. Esav still hates you with a passion, even though it's many, many years later, and he's coming with 400 men. And Yaakov Avinu was very scared, and it troubled him. And he split the camp. So that was the battle strategy. He was going to split the camp. That if they attack one camp, then at least the other one will be able to escape. That was his strategy. Now, I came across a question that I saw in the Sefer of Rabbi Yaakov Bender, a lovely question. You just fast forward a few psukim, it's the beginning of the next parak, when the actual encounter happens, Vayisa Yaakov in the next box in the bottom of the page, Vayisa Yaakov eno vayar v'ne esav bo, And sure enough, Esav is coming. Ve'imoy arba me'es ish. Vayachatz es hayelodim, etc., etc. And he split the kids al Leah va Rocha va Shtei Ashvachos va Yosem es Ashvachos va Yaldeim Rishayna va Leah va Yaldeim va Achirinim Achiranim va Rocha va Yosef Achiranim. In other words, that he put the Shvachos first, and then he put Leah with her children, and then Rachel and Yosef behind them. Hang on a second. That means to suggest that's who his family was. So what happened to the original plan? They're all together now. Wasn't the plan he was going to split the camp into two? One would be in place A, one would be in place B. And if place A was attacked, then place B would escape, or vice versa. But then, a few psukim later, when Esav appears, they're all together. What happened? What happened to the battle plan? So it's a great question. I never thought about it, never noticed it in the past. But Rabbi Yaakov Bender said he was struggling with this question. So he tells in his book, he says that he was thinking about this question, and he's a manal of a school, a very well-known educator in America, and he was going around doing like a learning walk, going around the various classes in his yeshiva, and it's a high school, it's a whole institution there, it's massive. And it so happened that a seventh grade class were having a chumash lesson, and the Rebbe was very excited to debate with the kids and the Rebbe in the room. And the Rebbe says, Rabbi Bender, you've got to hear this question. And they were discussing this question. That they had split the camp. That was the plan. And then when it came to it, they were all together. That he put the Shvachos and the kids, and then Leah and the kids, and then Rachel. So what happened to the plan? So he said to Rabbi Bender, listen to the answer that one of the boys gave. This is pre-bar mitzvah. So he said a very lovely answer, one of the boys. He said that he thinks this is what happened. When Yaakov Avinu said to the family, let's split, half will go here, half will go here, none of them wanted to. Everyone said, Daddy, we want to be with you. We want to stay together as a family. You know, I was talking to someone on Shabbos, you know, they're contemplating moving to Eretz Yisrael, you know, given the situation. And I asked the people what their parents thought about it. And their response was, we just want the family to be together. So those are the dilemmas. So that's what the response was to Yaakov Avinu. You know, Daddy, we want to be with you. We're one family with you at the center. Rabbi Bender tells a lovely anecdote. When in the Gulf War, this is in the 1990s, the early 1991, this was there were Scud missiles been threatened, sent to Eretz Israel. And there was talk of chemical warheads on top of them. And it was a scary time. And people were going to the Gedolim asking, should we stay in Eretz Yisrael? I remember before I went to Yeshiva, my brother was in Yeshiva. I remember being on the phone and hearing the Scud missiles. And, you know, and my brother talked to my mother and we heard these things. And like, what was that? It's nothing, Mom. It's okay. But there was Scud missiles. You heard the explosions. And it was scary times. And they went to Reb Chaim Kanievsky, and Reb Chaim Kanievsky, this is 30 plus years ago, he was much younger then, and he gave an assurance that no Scud missiles would fall on Bnei Brak. And that was despite Reb Shach, who was the leading Rosh Shiva of the time, and who was many decades older than Reb Chaim Kanievsky, not giving the same assurance. So they asked Reb Chaim Kanievsky, but Reb Shach hasn't given that assurance, how can you give this assurance? So he said, I'm giving that assurance because Reb Shach's Amelus Batorah is so powerful that it will safeguard this city of Bnei Brak, this Torah city. But due to Reb Shach's humility, he doesn't see it that way. And maybe that's what's going on over here. Yaakov Avinu, he had a military strategy, but his family saw it differently. They wanted the protection to be with Yaakov Avinu. Maybe it's a good idea to split. Actually, we think it's different. We need to be with you at the center, because your presence here will actually be the safeguard that we need. Okay, that was Rabbi Yaakov Bender. Let's finish off. The final piece is a very interesting tour. The tour says, and I may have mentioned this many years ago, but anyway, I'm not entirely sure, but it's certainly worth repeating. The tour says that each of the Shalosh Regalim represent one of the Ovis. So if you take a look, this is in Erechaim Simitof Yud Zayin, V'shamayti me'achi harav Yehuda. Says the Tur, He's quoting his brother Rabbi Yehuda. Tam ledova lefi shehamoyadim niskenu keneged avos. The moyadim correspond to the avos. Pesach keneged Avraham, tichsev lushi v'asi ugois, u'pesach hoya. That was what we learned in Parshas Vayera. Shavuos keneged Yitzchok, shetzkiya shofar shematan Torah hoya b'shofar me'elo shel Yitzchok. That's the connection. The tkiya shofar that you had, the kol chazok, the gadol of tkiya shofar, of matan Torah, was using the shofar of the ayil of Yitzchok that was offered up in his stead. And lastly, sukkos keneged Yaakov dechsiv ulemiknehu osa sukkos. This week's edra. He made sukkos for his flock. Now, the pasuk says, vayeshev vayemahu, vayoshev vayemahu Esav ledarko, Seira, after they encounter each other, Esav goes his way, and Yaakov nosa sukkosa. He goes to a place called Sukkos. Vayiven lebayis, he builds a house. Ulemiknehu osa sukkos, alkein kora shem hamokum sukkos. And that's really what the Torah is referring to, and therefore Sukkos is keneged Yaakov Avinu. Now, just by the way, there's a fascinating Arachaim. The Arachaim says, the obvious question, Vayakov nosa Sukkos, so he went to this place called Sukkos, which was Al Shem HaOsid. Vayiven Abayis, he built a house for the family, for the human beings. Ulamiknehu osa Sukkos. So what do you call the place? Sukkos. Why Sukkos? You built it because of the, you know, you built a shed for the cows, for the donkey. You're going to call the whole place based on that. Surely the bias for the human beings is more important. Says the Archaim, Vim Toma, the Chibishul Shaosu Shom Yaakov Sukkah, Yikari Lamokum Kain. Because you built a hut for the Sukkah, you're going to call the whole place Sukkos. Ulai, Ki Osa Dover Chodosh, that he was a massive innovator. This was news, this was big. Due to his compassion for the Mikneh, he innovated something which had not been in existence until then. I.e., there's going to be proper refuge for the cattle. No human being had done this before. Because this was such a novelty, the whole place was called Sukkos. He built this sort of refuge, the habitation for the animals. That's what the Arachaim says. Now, Dan Erentro, Zichrein Evracha, said his first Yahrzeit, which is only just recently, he gives a different answer. It's a very interesting answer. Esav and Yaakov made a deal. The deal was that Esav gets Olam Hazeh, this world, and Yaakov Avinu gets the next world. They're splitting the physical and the spiritual. Esav, therefore, when he sees he's just encountered his brother, his family, and he said, "Mi elaloch? Who are these?" And in other words, the pasuk says, "Vayoritz Esav likroso." When they met, "Vayichabkeu, vayipal al tzavar, vayishkeu, vayivku, vayiso es eno, vayaris hanoshim, vayolodim, vayomer mi elaloch? Your wives, your children. Who are these people?" "Vayomer halayolodim ashechonan elokim es avdecho." What was Esav's kasha? What was Yaakov's response? Esav's kasha was, "Hang on a second. We had a deal." The deal was, you get Olam Hazeh. Esav says, I get Olam Hazeh, and you get Olam Haba. So why have you got this large family? That's this world. I thought you're keeping away from this world. So Yaakov explains that this is my Olam Haba. That everything I have in this world has helped him fulfill his tafkid in this world, and therefore it's spiritual. And therefore, his response is, that's exactly his response. You know, they say a Maisa with the Yisrael Salanta, that he said about himself that when he got married, he made a deal that he won't engage, his wife will be involved in all the running of the home, all physical matters, and he'll take care of the ruchnius and the spiritual matters. And his wife would joke afterwards and says, it didn't work. Why? Because for Yisrael Salanta, even what type of curtains we get is a spiritual matter. So he called the shots on everything. It wasn't fair. So that's really what Yaakov Avinu is saying. These physical, this Olam Hazeh seems to have the appearance of Olam Hazeh, but actually these things, his wife, his children, that helped him fulfill his tafkid in this world, and therefore it was all ruchni. That's really what he's saying. And that really is the connection of Sukkos keneged Yaakov, said the Dayan. Why? Because that is the message of Sukkos. We go out into the Sukkah to say that everything we have in this world really comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. and it's helping us to fulfill our tafkid in this world. So therefore, that the message of Sukkos was articulated by Yaakov Avinu when he said, "Hayelodim Ashechon and Elokim Esavdecha," that everything we have is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help us fulfill our tafkid in this world. Okay, we'll leave it there.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.